I've never been a light traveler. I'm still not a light traveler. But someday I'm going to leave this earth, and I'm taking nothing with me. Sometimes we go back to the old friend. You know, we have new Bibles, and they're awesome, and we're grateful for them, and we get to make them our new friends. But sometimes you like to get back to your old friends. This is because I am undone this morning. The Lord awakened me in his presence. It was an unexpected joy. And I just asked the Lord if he wouldn't mind doing that for me every day. Because it sure makes it easy to get out of bed and shout hallelujah. When Moses came across the burning bush, if you all remember, the first thing the Lord said to him was, take off your shoes, because where you stand is holy. This is not really an act of holiness. It's actually precaution, because I am so undone by his presence. I'm afraid I'm going to fall in my shoes, because my shoes do this, and I need to be firm-footed today. So what I was going to share this morning, the Lord changed at worship. And I said, Lord, that's really a big jump from he is risen. But then I came in and we worshiped. Sharon shared part of my teaching. The songs were part of my teaching. And your prayer was part of my teaching. I said, okay, God, now it fits. What an awesome God we serve. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, God. I am amazed and confounded by who you are and what you have done for me. And I know I don't stand alone here, because there is no one here that cannot stand up and say, look what the Lord has done for me. And there are things, God, that we know so much in our head and we've heard so many times. But for some reason, it bounces off of our hearts. And there are things that you have revealed to us by the power of your Spirit that are large in our hearts. And it bounces off our minds. And we don't get it. Because you surpass everything that we could ever understand, imagine, or speculate. And so, since you said you love to share your secrets with your friends, and you call us friend, we ask, Holy Spirit, you would open our ears so that our mind can grab what you're saying, and you open our hearts so our hearts can receive what you're saying, and you enlighten our soul so that it transforms us even more into your likeness. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Holy Spirit, continue to come. Quicken us to the reading of the word. And help us to understand even more who you are, who the Father is, and who the Son is. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've all been around here much, you know I'm not much of a crier. But I'm not crying because I screwed up bad. I am crying because I am overwhelmed by the goodness of a holy God. A holy God. One who cannot stand near one filled with sin. One who cannot embrace wickedness. One who would not even tempt us to do wrong, but loves us in spite of us all of the time. Receives us quickly all of the time. Whether you got up empowered by his presence because he joined you in your dream, or whether you wake up feeling like, oh God, my body can't move and my mind is dull and the last thing I want to do is crawl out of this bed, or whether you just sinned grossly and you're offended so many, it doesn't matter. His love for us never changes. Something God has stirred in my heart is that sometimes we forget that he's also a holy God. His holiness doesn't make him love us less. That's why he died. Because we couldn't ever come close to him. There was no quantity of lambs that could have been slain to cover our sin. We needed the perfect, spotless Lamb of God to come and to do it for us, to suffer our sufferings, to pay our price, and to do what none of us could ever do, which was go down to hell. Preach the gospel to those that served him but never had a chance to serve him because they loved God, but he hadn't come yet. Took back them keys. He took them back. I don't believe the devil went running up and goes, oh, here you go. Good job. He thought he had Jesus forever. He didn't know he was going to get slam basted that day because God didn't think he needed to know. What an awesome thing. Do you think Haman knew he was going to be hung on his own gallows? I don't think he would have built them. Do you think Pharaoh would have knew that he was going to get in the ocean when the Red Sea opened up and they all followed in because they opened up for him? And then, whoop, he's gone forever. No, there are things and mysteries that God shares only to those who know him and love him. And they knew it was going to happen, although they were still hoping that they were hearing right. Because they also went into that Red Sea. But they came out. Because that's the faithfulness of our God. So we serve a holy God. And he told me this morning to read. And I don't usually read a lot of the word when I'm here. See, my Bible's, this is why it's been retired. But it has all my treasures in it. But the Lord told me today to take all my notes, set them aside, and to read Revelation, starting in chapter 4, verse 8. And I'm going to continue on into chapter 5. And I pray that God will give you ears to hear. And the four living creatures, individually having six wings, were full of eyes all over and within and underneath their wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And whenever these living creatures offered glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever throughout the eternities of eternities, whenever that happened, the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin fell prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne. And they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they throw down their crowns before the throne, crying, "Worthy are you, O Lord God, to receive the glory and the honor and the dominion, for you created all things. By your will, they were brought into being, and they were created." Now I'm going to continue, but I want to stop for a minute. And I ask that you go into your imagination world just for a moment and try to picture this creature that is huge. And it's flying all around the throne room of God, the very throne room of God, where God is seated, where God sits on his throne. And they have eyes all over, under their wings, over their wings, on everywhere, eyes, and they're seeing this holy God. They are looking at a holy God. They are seeing him with all of their eyes, and they are circling the throne. And so they're seeing his front, they're seeing his back, they're seeing his head, they're seeing his feet, they're seeing his sides, they're seeing the God who created all things. And they shout with a loud voice. They don't just go, "Whoa, he's holy, cool." They're undone. And they cry out, "Holy and glory and honor belongs to you. You, God. You alone, God. Because you created all things." And when this happens, can you see this? There's things flying around and they're shouting these things. And all of a sudden, 24. How many are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Over half of this congregation at this moment falls on their faces. They don't go, "Yeah, you're worthy, God. Okay, praise you. Here, you can have my crown." No, they fall, whoop, face down, because he's a holy God. And they take the crown and they throw it at his feet. Because what do they deserve? Nothing. But they've been given so much. And I saw, this is John the Apostle speaking when he was on the island of Patmos. He was in big deep trouble because he loved Jesus. And Jesus visited him and took him to heaven. And he saw lying on the open hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll. It was closed and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw an angel announcing, a very strong angel announcing in a loud voice. People, you gotta get this. You can be loud in church. Because if you don't get used to it here, you're gonna be very uncomfortable in heaven. Because they make it very clear over and over with a loud voice. Who is worthy to open the scroll? Who's entitled it? Who deserves it? Who is morally fit to break its seals. And no one in heaven. Not Holy Spirit. No one. Not God. No one. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to take a single look, just a glance. Not even a glance. Not even a glance could they look at its contents. And I wept audibly and bitterly because no one was found fit to open the scroll or to inspect it. Then one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said to me, "Stop weeping. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David? He has won. He has won. He doesn't open the scroll because he's God. He opens the scrolls because he won. He has the victory. He did what no one and no thing could have ever done. He won the battle against the enemy. And he took back the key of death. And he took back the authority that was handed over to the devil in the garden. He took it all back. He won. Talk about a long battle. From Eve all the way to the crucifixion and resurrection. Sometimes we go weary in our battles. Sometimes we think God is slow. But let me tell you, God's timing is perfect. And he knows the appointed times and the appointed seasons. And he is always perfectly on time. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of David, he has won. He has overcome, and he has conquered. And he alone can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there was between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. With seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Who have been sent these seven spirits on duty far and wide and into all the earth? The seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, who has been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. So you have the Son, the Lamb, who the Word tells us was slain before the foundations of the earth. It was done back then. It just had to be walked out to wait its appointed time. And these seven spirits of God have been sent on duty. They're on duty. They're not just out roaming around because, hey, what are you doing on a Friday night? Oh, I think I'll just go fly around a bit. No, they have a purpose. They have a goal, and it is to seek and to save the lost. It is to draw all men into the kingdom of God, to snatch them away from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. It is to infill the children of the Most High God so that when they walk this earth, it is as if Jesus himself is there. Because they speak as he speaks, and they live like he lived, and they love like he loved, and they do the same works and even greater works they do, because he left to go to be with the Father and gave us the Holy Spirit, and now he's been, now it has been multiplied many times over. This one Jesus, he has been multiplied. Over and over and over, every time somebody knows Jesus, they're filled with his presence and they can walk this earth and represent him. But sometimes, and the Lord sorely corrected me this week, because sometimes we forget that he's holy. Sometimes we think it's his fault because when we move, like he said we can, nothing happens. Because when we speak like he said we can speak, we don't see the results. And God said to me, I am a holy God. And if you want to see me, you must be pure in heart. Not undivided. You must be undivided, not divided. Not like the world and the things thereof, but on Sunday morning, I'm in my church. Oh, but I like the world. It's so much fun. But on Wednesday night, I'm in my church. I might have devotion and then forget what I said. I might pray for the sick. I want to raise the dead. But every morning, oh God, I got to get up and seek your face. I have to harbor, I can't harbor resentment anymore in my heart. I have to forgive that one who keeps kicking me when I'm down? Huh. I want. But it takes too much. The cost is too high. I want. But it takes too much. The cost is too high. So what? I compromise. And I forget he's a holy God. I'm glad I said that. They deserved it. I know everybody has at least thought it. Because we want so much, but we don't see through the eyes of God. We judge, we complain, we blame God.
Well, you said, I don't see it.
But let me tell you, when Peter was walking down the road, people would line up like a parade with all the sick. And when his shadow touched the sick, they were healed. Did Peter go, I'm coming, get ready? Did you feel it?
Yeah. Isn't that good? Oh, yeah.
No, he was living his life. He was just on his way somewhere. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? You want to compare yourself to Peter?
Whoa.
I would love to be like Peter post-Jesus. Unfortunately, I'm more like Peter pre-Jesus. And sometimes I forget that I got a post-Jesus. We serve a holy God. But let me tell you something. Peter's shadow didn't heal the sick. That was the glory of God that he carried. I can't remember. I was thinking about him this morning. I said, Lord, I don't remember the name of this dude. He was an evangelist, and he came from England, I believe. And he carried the presence of God like a glory cloud. And before he even hit the harbor, people were repenting. He didn't even land yet because the glory of the Lord went before him. It was in him. It surrounded him because he loved not his own life even unto death. So he fasted. Oh, Lord, do you mean we have to go without food? Well,
Jesus said, if you want that demon to come out, it only comes out through prayer and fasting. He didn't mince any words with that one. How come demons don't flee when I come, Lord? When's the last time you went without food, child? When's the last time you sought me with all your heart? When's the last time you shuck off the dirt? Oh, God, that was sin. Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. Oh, that was sin. Oh, forgive me. And you kept close account. And you guarded what came out of your mouth. And you guarded what your ears heard. Because what you see and what you hear goes into here. Do you care? When you listen to things, is it bringing glory to God? When you see things, is it bringing glory to God? When you speak things, is it glory to God? Because God said, in everything you say and do, do all to the glory of God. I know, and I believe you all know, that there is coming a great awakening to this land. And I told God, I don't want to miss this one. I don't want to be one going, wow, did you hear what happened over there? Wow, did you see what happened over there? I want to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He used me. Go figure. He's a merciful God. He wants to use you. He knows you. He has plans for you. When it says he has plans for you, that doesn't mean he wants you to ask him to forgive you for your sins. He wants to come and live in your heart, and then someday you're going to die and go to heaven. That's only a fraction. That's like the title of the book. It's not even the beginning. Open up that baby. What are his plans for you? Is it to raise the dead? Is it to be transported like Philip so you could share the gospel to somebody who doesn't understand and is seeking God? Time travel. I've signed up for all of it. I really have, because I don't know what God has for me, but I don't want him to think I don't want something, so I'm just going to sign up for it all. And I'll take everything he gives me. But I know this. If I want to see him, I have to be pure heart. And if I want to be used by him, I have to remember he's a holy God. I can't defame his name by my attitude, by my words, by my actions. I can't make God look like, and then think he's going to say, okay, let's go do something big. I have to be ready. Does that mean you don't live life? Of course not. He wants us to live life. He didn't do that because he wants us all to jump on it. Now, granted, we are to carry our own cross. I'm not making light of that. There are things I have to bear in my life, and I am to do it for the glory of God. I am to die to my own desires so that I can live for his. But I am not having to die for my sin. He took care of that. And he didn't stay dead. If he did, he would have been like everybody else. And we'd still be offering lambs. But he rose again. And then he put in us the same spirit that raised him Christ from the dead, as we were reminded this morning. I'm sorry, I'm preaching again. Let me get back to the word. And there between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders of the Sanhedrin, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, who have been sent on duty far and wide into all the earth. He then went, and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Jesus took the scroll from his Father. And when he had taken the scroll,
The four living creatures and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin prostrated themselves before the Lamb, each one holding a harp, a lute, or a guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Sometimes I feel like my prayer is hitting the ceiling, just coming down. Don't matter what I pray, nothing ever happens anyway. Let me tell you something. You pray in faith. Let me tell you where your prayers go. Into the golden bowls of incense. Our prayers are incense to the Lord. They are a sweet offering, a fragrance unto the Lord. And that is what was in the bowls when the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell prostrate before the Lamb. And now they sing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain. With your blood, you purchased men and women unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation." I'm going to read that again. And now they sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. And you were slain because you were slain with your blood. You are able to purchase every man, every woman from every tribe, every nation, every people, everywhere. No one excluded. No one excluded." Now, if you were going to have a big party and you invited a bunch of friends to come and to feast and you forked the bill because you wanted to celebrate something incredible and you wanted all your loved ones there, and then you found out that some couldn't show up because they were busy, couldn't fit you into their schedule. They had a field they had to plow. They had a sweetheart they just married, you know, and they needed to spend time with them. There was a lot of excuses when Jesus had the celebration of the feast, the banquet of the bride. Did they say, "Well, oh well, I understand"? Uh-uh. He said, "You go out. You go out to the byways, to the highways, every little spot you can find, and you fill this banquet room, because we are going to celebrate the bride's and the groom's reunion. I am not going to have an empty seat. If they don't want to come, you shut the door, because they ain't coming." "But I was just running late." "Yep, sorry, door's locked." He locked the door behind. I am telling you, we serve a God who loves us so much, he'd rather die than live without us. But we serve a holy God, and his holiness is required on us. And that's why he said, "Be holy like I am holy." "You have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God." He's talking about us people. He did all that so he could make us a king and a priest to reign and rule with him forever. Us. Well, gee, I don't deserve that. That's right. But I'm not throwing it away. Because I'm not a fool. If my God says I am a new creation, I'm a new creation. And if he says I can raise the dead, then I'm going to raise the dead. And if he says I can be transported like Philip, I'm going to be transported like Philip. And if he said I can go time travel into the future, I'm going to time travel the future. If he lets me see heaven, I'm going to go see heaven. If he says I can cast out demons, oh, I will do it with both my feet. I just can't jump and do it at the same time. But I can in the spirit. Because he made me his. And he made you his. And there is no thing impossible. You know, this is a side note, and I know where to go. A side note real quick. The song Rattle. Do you all know what that means when you're saying, just ask, there's nothing impossible for God, just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah's grave to see if there's anything God cannot do? Do you know that Elijah was promised a double portion from God? Do you know that when Elijah went to heaven, Elisha was promised a double portion, so he did double everything, except he only raised one from the dead. Well, so did Elijah. You think God's timing is slow? You think God forgets his promises? A man died. He died. They didn't know what to do with him. They took him and said, I'll throw him over here in this old grave. And he landed on Elisha's dead bones. And he came back to life. God's promises fulfilled. He did twice the miracles of Elisha. Let me tell you, is there anything that your God cannot do? Because if there is, you need to find the right God. So let's finish up this chapter so you all go eat your Easter meal. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels on every side of the throne, and of the living creatures and the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, and they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, you can't count them. That is one slew of angels. Saying in a loud voice, deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory, splendor, and blessing. I'll read that again. He said in a loud voice, deserving, he deserves it all. Deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive all. All means all. There's no trick in that one. All the power, all the riches, all wisdom and might and honor and majesty, glory, splendor, and blessing. And I heard every created thing in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in it crying out together to him who is seated on the throne. And to the Lamb be ascribed the blessing and the honor and the majesty, glory, splendor, power, might, and dominion forever and forever through the eternities of eternity. Then the four living creatures said, Amen, so be it. And the elders of the Sanhedrin prostrated themselves and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Now, I know that I said a whole lot, but my hope and my prayer for me and for you is that you get to know this holy God. like you have never known him before. And so that out of your mouth you can loudly proclaim that he alone is worthy, and that he deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise and the might and the dominion forever and ever and ever. This is our declaration as children of the Most High God. And let me just say, and this is going to be sacred cow, and I am so sorry. If I offend you, please forgive me for the offense. The offense is not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is to encourage you to open your mouth loudly, at least when you are in the house of the Lord, surrounded by brothers and sisters who are loudly proclaiming the same thing. You won't even stand out. If ever you have an opportunity to let it all hang out, it's with others who are doing it. So remember, back in Solomon's day, the glory of God came. Nobody could do anything. They stopped offering sacrifices. They stopped shouting. They stopped singing. Everybody was on their face because the Shekinah presence, the manifest presence of a holy God, showed up because they announced their love, their declaration, their adoration, the holiness, the magnificence of their God at the same time as one voice. They came into unity. Do you want the glory cloud? That's how you get it. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you that you are changing us from glory to glory. You're opening our understanding on things we didn't understand, and you are giving us a hunger and a thirst more and more for your kingdom's purposes. You are changing us more and more into your likeness so that when we go out and we live our life every day, we are seen differently than others because you are coming out of us more and more. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to do that, pay the greatest price of all, to pay a debt you didn't owe, so that I, who owed it all, I'm the one who was in debt. You paid my price, and you didn't do anything wrong. And because your love for me is that immense, your love for the Father is that immense, I want to have that kind of obedience to you. I want to say, all is yours. Take it all. Help us to learn how to do that as your children, to daily pick up our cross and say, this is mine, this is what you have for me, I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to represent you. Help us, God, to know what it means to be a people who walk in unity, who don't bicker, who don't complain, who don't judge. Oh, God, that is like so our nature. But we aren't in our nature anymore. We are a new creation in Christ. That old is gone and the new has come. And we claim that for ourselves and for this body here and for those who are going to become a body in here. And we declare that the Jubilee of the year of the Lord comes now, and we will be set free to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be glorified, Father, in all that we say and do. And I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.